Thank you, Jorge. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Gospel of Luke chapter 17. I'll look at a few thoughts this evening concerning the aspect in our service for the Lord. We're going to look first at the thought of faith, works, and as we see, we refer to as our service for the Lord. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will come up unto him by and by, and when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, Make ready, wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I wot not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. The word unprofitable servants is a very interesting word that is found here. In all the service that this servant has done, when the work is completed for the day, and he has served his master, he is yet an unprofitable servant. I remember one time I was speaking at a church in Connecticut where I was helping out for the summer. I was speaking on a portion of Scripture. Afterwards, the brother came up to me, and I was struggling with the portion as I was speaking. And he came up to me afterwards, and he says, When our work is done, we are just unprofitable servants. We're simply tools in God's hand that he can use. I'm going to look at first the thought of works. James tells us that faith without works is what? Is dead, isn't it? James uses the illustration of Abraham, doesn't he? That Abraham's faith was seen in his works. That he believed God. He believed what God had told him to do, and he responded in faith and obeyed God. Works is also referred to as our service. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that every man's work shall be tried by fire. Our service is also referred to as works, and certainly they are in deep contrast. We find in 2 Corinthians 5 that at the judgment seat of Christ that we'll give an account, not for works, but of the things that are done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Paul uses the word things. In James, we're reminded that the evidence of our faith is seen in our works, isn't it? If a man says he has faith and there's no evidence of his faith or there's nothing in his life to prove that the faith is real, then his faith is dead, isn't it? If one's life continues on in the same pattern of the world as before he was saved, then you question one's faith, whether it was real, genuine or not. Faith and works and evidences of the life that is there, that has been implanted by the Spirit of God in repentance of sin and acknowledging that we're a sinner and receiving Christ. Apart from that, there's no real faith in one's life. Faith without works is dead. And we see today there's a lot of easy believism, and you just simply, you just believe, but yet you can continue on and live the way you want, you please. But that's certainly in contrast to Scripture. Faith without works is dead. Our service is, Paul uses the word works. The things that we do in our love for the Lord and our desire to please Him and to serve Him, Paul refers to them also as works, but certainly in a different setting in the usage of the word. And here we see in this parable of a servant who labors all day in the heat and the toil of the day, and he comes into the master's house, and as he enters the house, he sits down and he fails to serve his master. But that's not the responsibility of a servant, is it? A servant is to serve his master first, and then he is to eat and to drink himself. And you know, it's a picture of each one of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Master, has saved us. He's come to redeem us. He's bought us back to Himself. He's given His life for us. He's brought us into the family of God. And as a result of that, we're His servants. We serve Him. We don't take the place as a master. We take the place as a servant. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to serve, not to be served, but He came to serve. And you know, it's a tremendous lesson for us that we are to serve the Master first throughout all our life. The years that God gives us as His servants, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we're to serve Him as our Master. Notice the words that He uses. It will not, in verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. Gird thyself and serve me. Paul uses the word, gird up the loins of your mind. And you know, we're to gird ourselves up. We're to be motivated. We're to be making ready to serve the Master. And that's what the word gird has in mind. We're to prepare ourselves and to get ready because we're going to serve the Master. And you know, so often we fail to prepare ourselves. And we're going to look at an illustration of one who prepared himself before the Lord. But that was the responsibility as a servant, to prepare himself, because he is now to serve the Master. After he has served the Master, and he himself has eaten and drunken, he is an unprofitable servant. We have done that which our duty is to do. Now the word duty has the thought of indebtedness. We're indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Master, aren't we? We're indebted to Him. It's our indebtedness in which we are to do. It's our responsibility as a servant in serving Him as our Master. Notice the servant isn't thanked, is he? Notice in verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I wrought not. He's not thanked of the things that he has done. You know, a servant, responsibility as a servant very often becomes a thankless position, doesn't it? But you know, there's a day coming when there will be rewards, when we will be judged. Our service, our work for the Lord will be judged. And there will be rewards that will be given for our service for the Lord. But you know, very often as a servant, it's a very unthankful in our service for the Lord. Very thankless sometimes. But yet we're serving the Master, aren't we? The tremendous responsibility, and we're indebted to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him. And one day we'll be in His presence. We're serving Him while we're here on earth. And yet we are unprofitable servants. Paul reminds us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're not to exalt ourselves, but we're to humble ourselves and realize that we're unprofitable servants before Him. And in due time, He will exalt in His own time. I want to go to Luke chapter 10. We have here the story of Mary and Martha. You know, as a servant in the field, it was a very busy day for him, and a very tiring and toiling day. And sometimes in service for the Lord, it can be very tiring and toiling, and the days can seem very long. And sometimes we grow weary, and sometimes we just look for encouragement to continue on. And we see in the life of Mary and Martha, as the Lord Jesus came to them, we see here that Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, didn't she? Notice in verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, that it shall not be taken away from her. You see that Martha was the one that received him into the house. It wasn't Mary, it was Martha, wasn't it? If we were to look further in John 12, when Lazarus had died, it was Martha that ran out to find the Lord. She was the first one to meet him, and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha has a very interesting personality and position, doesn't she? And she's busy with much serving. She's getting together the dinner or whatever it was that she was serving at that time. But Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. But notice Martha said, Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me alone to serve? In a sense, she's doing what? She's rebuking the Lord, because her sister is not helping her, because her sister's left her alone to serve. Don't you care, Lord, that my sister's not helping me? And you know, sometimes we can be angry at the Lord because of some fault in our life or in someone else's. And it's easy to blame someone else and to look at someone else. And she rebuked the Lord because he didn't say anything to Mary because Mary was just sitting there, but she was serving. And I think it's a lesson for us. But we see that Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And when you go to the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we don't find Mary of Bethany there, do we? We find Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of Zebedee's children, and so on. But we don't have an account of Mary of Bethany there. And let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. We have here the story of Mary of Bethany, whom the Lord Jesus came to their house again. We have an account of him coming to their house. And there Mary poured oil on the Lord Jesus' head. He anointed him with ointment. And then we find in verse 12, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." This account was later, after this account in Luke 10. And we find that she had anointed the Lord Jesus' head. And I believe it was a result of her sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning of him and talking with him that she learned concerning his burial. She perhaps learned more there at that time than perhaps maybe even the disciples learned in the 3 years that he was with them concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What she learned at the feet of the Lord Jesus was something that she needed, wasn't it? It was something that she needed in her heart and in her soul as she sat at his feet. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Imagine that, where the gospel is preached throughout the world, it will be reminded of the fact that Mary had anointed his body for his burial. Tremendous testimony, isn't it? I believe Mary learned that at the feet of the Lord Jesus, as she sat at his feet and learned of him. And you know, we are unprofitable servants. And our responsibility first is to sit at his feet, isn't it? We're indebted to him. It's our duty. We're indebted to him because of all that he has done for us. We're simply servants that are sitting at his feet. Now certainly Martha's work was very important in serving and preparing of the meal and so on. But the Lord Jesus came to serve not food, physical food, but spiritual food. And Mary sat at his feet. I remember Ed used to say that we need to esteem the Word of God more than our 3 meals a day. And you know, it's so often we fail to really esteem the Word of God and seek to spend time in His Word and to learn of Him and to sit at His feet and to learn of Him. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts, and that our mind might be shaped and molded, and that it might be conformed to the image of His Son. It's important that we sit before we serve. It's important that we spend time in the Word of God, and I know I don't spend as much time as I should in the Word and meditation of the Word. And sometimes we get so busy and so many things about us and responsibilities and so on. We fail to spend time in the Word of God. Just to learn of Him. Just to learn more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to appreciate Him more and to love Him more is so, so important. And I think as we see the day approaching of the end of the age, that we need to spend, it is so urgent that we spend time in His Word and engulf our mind and our thinking upon His Word and learn of Him. Unprofitable servants, you have done that which is our duty to do. However we serve, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at another illustration of Paul, who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Not in the same sense as Mary did, but in a different way. He had a different need than Mary had. And I like to think that Paul was caught up into the second heaven, or the third heaven. He sat at the Lord's feet. We see in the parable of the servant and master, that there's no name given to the master. That the master, like the parable of the rich man or so on, there's no name given to the master in that parable. And when Paul writes concerning the time that he was taken up into the third heaven, he says, I knew a man in Christ Jesus about 14 years ago. He doesn't use his own name, but he's referring to himself, his own experience. And Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Notice verse 4. Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. For such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. You see this here, I like to think of the fact that Paul was caught up into paradise. and he sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He says, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, but God knows. This experience that Paul had, as he was faced with a thorn in the flesh, and something that was a constant pain to him. Some say it was his eyesight. Others claim that it was just physical weakness that he had. If we look at his life and all the persecutions and everything that he went through, you wonder how he could endure all that he did, all the stripes, 39 plus 1 stripes that was put upon his back, and so on. All the trials, all the testings. And you wonder, no wonder Paul became weak in the flesh. It became a thorn in the flesh to him. But God didn't take that away from him, did he? But he said, in the midst of it, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, he's still, as a servant of God, he's an unprofitable servant. God didn't take that weakness away from him. But he used the weakness that Paul might realize that his glory, the glory was not to be of his own, but it was to be God's glory that would be seen in his service for the Lord. He didn't want to exalt himself, but he wanted the Lord to be exalted, and that in the midst of his weakness, God was going to give him strength and sufficient to endure. And you know, sometimes we go through weaknesses. We go through difficulties, but the Lord reminds us that in the midst of it, his strength is sufficient for us. He gloried in the weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. He learned these while he was caught up into the third heaven, while he was caught up to the presence of the Lord, and the Lord reminded him of his strength that would be made perfect in weakness. And you know, as unprofitable servants, it's our weakness that God will turn into strength. He wants to use our weaknesses. And it's not the noble, not the mighty, but it's one who recognizes their dependence upon God is the one whom God can use as a servant of his. You see, the servant, when he had toiled all day and served the master, he was still an unprofitable servant. He was still indebted into the responsibility as a servant to his master, to serve his master first, and then himself. The Lord's strength was made perfect in weakness. And you know, as our service for the Lord, it's important that we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to learn of him. And when we do that, we know his strength. We'll become aware of his strength. And we'll become aware of the fact that we're weak within ourselves. Paul also reminds us in chapter 13, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4. He was crucified in weakness. His power of God would be seen. And it was in weakness, in tremendous agony and suffering on the cross of Calvary, that his body became weak in the sufferings of death, that the power of God was seen. And you know, Paul's weaknesses in the flesh, God used that the power of God might be seen in his service for the Lord. And Paul endured the thorns in the flesh for God's glory, for his honor. So it's important that we recognize in service for the Lord as we serve him, that when all is done, we are still unprofitable servants. It's sort of a phrase that in characteristic of as a servant, in a sense, causes one to humble themselves when we think of the fact that we're unprofitable servants. But yet that's what the Lord calls a servant when he serves the master, that he is still an unprofitable servant. And he will exalt in due time. Our service for the Lord depends on how we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. How much time do we sit at his feet and spend in his word and learn of him and seek to learn his word and to grow in the things of the Lord? That must be first before our service for the Lord. And we see that Paul's experience here is something that, as he accounts to us the fact that God can take the weaknesses and turn them into strength. And Paul, and all the suffering that he endured and all the trials and testings that God brought him through, he reminds Paul that his grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's made complete, isn't it? It's something which can be God can turn into something very profitable. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore would I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And it's only his power, by the Spirit of God working through us, can anything be accomplished for his glory, isn't it? You know, as Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus and learned of him, and as she learned of him and all the things that she had talked to him about, but as she learned of him, and I'm sure as we see in Mary's life, that she never forgot those things, did she? That they were part of her. She had chosen the good part, which cannot be taken away from her. And you know, there's many things in the world that easily taken away from us, isn't there? We can think of many things. We can think of our health can be taken away at any time. We can think of any of the possessions we may have can be taken away at any time. A relative or family or whomever. But that's the part that can never be taken away. It's part of Mary's thinking, soul, and her motives and so on that cannot be taken away from her. And you know, as we serve the Lord, as we seek to serve him, as we sit at his feet, it's those things that are the good part that God can use in turning our weaknesses into strength. And we've chosen the good part, which cannot be taken away from her. So it's just a few thoughts concerning our service, thoughts concerning our works for the Lord, and the evidence of our faith is seen in our response after we are saved, and then we see our works as we serve the Lord day by day, and how we are to serve Him. And when all is done, when the day is over, we are still unprofitable servants. We have done that which our duty is to do. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for the thoughts that we can glean from it. Thank You for those of who have been illustrations to us, as in the life of Mary and Paul. We see in the parable of the servant. Father, we just pray that You might help us to learn of You and to be willing to acknowledge our weakness, and to recognize that it's only our dependence upon Your power can anything be accomplished in our life, in our service for You. Help us to humble ourselves and to really know what it is to be a real servant of Thine. And help us most of all to sit at Your feet and to spend time in Your word and meditation and seeking to learn of You, that Your word may so permeate our life and it might be seen by others, we pray. Give You thanks, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.